is winning the battle against Warner.
You betcha he is. Davey Warner was the lone batsman out for Australia on the second day of play, the first real day, but the second day's play of the second test at Lords of the Ashes. At 1 for 30, the Aussies overnight after bowling England out for 258 with some very impressive spells from Josh Hazlewood, in fact. Adam Collins, host of the Final Word podcast with Jeff Lemon, which you heard earlier this morning, has been good enough to join us just jumping out of a restaurant. Good morning, Collo. Good evening to you.
G'day, Harp. Yes, I'm, it's my birthday, so my girlfriend's taking me out to dinner.
Oh, happy birthday.
But she understands that some things have to wait, and one of those things is the main course for I have to... I take great pleasure in telling you all about the first day at Lords.
Well, we want to hear all about it because it was a good day of cricket. We, you know, we had to wait a day for it to happen, but when Australia won the toss and Tim Payne said, we'll bowl, what did you think?
Well, I immediately thought, how frequently has that happened? Australia sending England in an Ashes test match. Not that often, it would seem. 2005 at Edgbaston stood out. And a couple of people were making those comparisons just after lunch when Joe Denley was batting quite nicely. There was nothing doing with the pitch, and Rory Byrne seemed to sort of found some form at the same time. And look at then Cummins and Hazlewood did a tag team on Joe Denley. Cummins set him up, sort of a Jeff Thompson impersonation, softening him up with a series of short balls that hit him in the head. And then Hazlewood bowled a little temper to him outside the off stump, nibble behind. That was the third wicket. And then started the role that we're so familiar with this England middle order. They can't seem to string together a consistent performance at the moment. Johnny Bairstow made a half century and Chris Wokes some handy runs down at number nine. But fundamentally, their innings was broken through the middle stages. And Hazlewood up top, you think about the fact that he wasn't even in the side last week. Oh, I can seldom remember seeing him bowl better at all at any stage for Australia, and it started in his first over today when he picked up Jason Roy. It was quite interesting that before the series started that there was no trash talk from David Warner or Nathan Lyon like there was a couple of years ago in Australia. It was Josh Hazlewood who had a bit of a pop at Jason Roy, reminding people that he'd never played a test match and that making runs with the red ball was a lot different to boshing sort of limited over centuries, and it ended up going for three balls before he sent him packing. So most impressive from Hazlewood. Cummins was the enforcer. Line equals Dennis Lilly on 355 test wickets. Siddle made a contribution as well. So I think, again, the bowling from this Australian team in this series so far has been quite outstanding.
And, Colo, that's what I was going to ask you about. What did you think of the combination of Cummins, Hazlewood and Siddle as the three strike bowlers? Do you think that worked? Do you think that's sustainable?
Well, it looked pretty good, didn't it? They created nine chances between the three of them. That is to say, Cummins and Hazlewood picked up three apiece and Siddle got one but had two straightforward catches off Burns put down behind the wicket. So, look, if you're creating nine chances in the space of two and a half sessions and the spinner's picking up three wickets, then you're doing your job, aren't you? Siddle wasn't as frugal as he was last week at Edgbaston, but he had a bad start. I think that hurt his confidence a little bit. But as soon as he started his second spell, he was creating opportunities and back to that familiar, nagging Peter Siddle line and length that we've become so accustomed to through the second half of his career. And then Lyon, a really important intervention with Ben Stokes, who looked, you know, Stokes did great nick and he came out swinging and hit the boundary a couple of times. And Lyon down the slope around the wicket, beat him with the straight ball, great bit of bowling. And then they were, as I said before, they were kind of broken. A good partnership between Bairstow and Wokes, but the damage was largely done earlier on by Hazlewood, Cummins and Lyon.
What about the pitch? Because as Harf alluded to, the toss was interesting. Because both Root and Payne would have bowled first, not just Payne, who did bowl first. But it seemed a bit docile. There wasn't a lot of pace to it. There wasn't a lot of bounce to it at times. And then a couple really, really took off. Where do you think it'll head this pitch in the next few days?
Yeah, look, Whitey, if you were there, you would have batted first, I'm fairly sure. It was a bat first pitch, but it was bowl first conditions,
yep.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Broader atmospherics. It felt like it was a bowl first day. And I felt like both captains wanted to bowl yesterday, which might have informed their decision this morning. Justin Langer said something quite interesting last night at the press conference. And you never really know with Langer whether he's 100% serious or taking the mickey a little bit. But he said that had Payne won the toss at 3 o'clock yesterday, which didn't actually happen. It started raining 3 minutes before that took place, so that they didn't have a toss. But he was looking into whether it was possible for Payne to forfeit the toss and make Joe Root the side. Now, I mean, again, he may not have been 100% serious, but it sounds like he did ask the question. So that suggests to me that both captains, it was the quintessential toss you didn't want to win on day one, which when you're in that situation, you probably tend to bowl. But, yeah, the pitch, look, it's slow. That's the word for it. I've been to every first-class game at Lord's this year, and it's never been as timid as that as it was today. So I was sort of interested by that. I thought that there might have been a direct response to Root giving the curator a bake after the Ireland Test match when he said it was too sporting and there was too much in it for the bowlers. So that might have been a direct response. So really, that really does underpin how well Hazelwood and Cummins bowled. Before lunch, there hadn't been a Test match played at Lord's with less movement from fast bowlers the whole way back to Cricket News Collect Stats. So that's every Test play there till 2006 and beyond. They've never had less movement before lunch, but it kind of didn't matter because Hazelwood was so consistent. 72% of his balls in that first spell landed both on a good line and a good length, which is a career high for him. He's never bowled a spell in his Test career that was so accurate. So, in a way, I think it's like a corrective for 2015. In 2015, Hazelwood talks about trying to bowl, quote, the miracle ball, and that with the Dukes, and he kind of lost his way as a result of this. He bowled too full. He wasn't patient enough, and this felt like it was almost a corrective of that, in that he was happy to bowl in that good line and length rather than over-pitching, and he got the rewards accordingly.
Yeah, it felt like both captains were keen to protect a brittle batting lineup as opposed to...
That too.
as opposed to what necessarily the ball would do. And the other question before we let you go is the rain, or the rain that's expected tonight. Mm. I know the days 4 and 5 seem okay. It's a really bad game of football on tonight, so I think it's really important that there is cricket to watch. But will there be?
Yeah, there should be in the morning. I think we're bracing ourselves for an afternoon of not very much and watching the radar. So we're expecting to get on first thing. Yes, it's going to rain overnight. It's meant to be fine in the morning, and then it sounds like it gets pretty ugly by about 2 p.m. But given they can extend the day to 98 overs, and given that there's already been 11 wickets on day one, England have already been dismissed. Like the probability of a result is still pretty high, I reckon. It's just a matter of making sure that on the weekend, on day 4 and day 5, they get the full 98 overs on both days.
Hey, Colo, you said the lovely's taking you out for your birthday dinner. Where is she taking you? You didn't mention that. You said a restaurant, but what type of restaurant?
Yeah, we're just around the corner from Lord's. Like, as Whitey knows, I'm an avid vegetarian, so it's sometimes hard to find restaurants where I can find much on the menu. But I'm walking up to try and remember what it is now, because I can't remember what it's called. It's called the Gate Restaurant in St John's Woods. It's about 500 metres from Lord's, but I spent so much time at Lord's that I didn't know this place existed, so she's done pretty well.
Well, happy birthday from all of us here. We appreciate all your assistance you give us, and we love the coverage of the Ashes as we have done with the World Cup. Good on you, buddy. Have a great weekend. Hopefully it's great cricket for you to watch.
Thanks, boys. Have a good day.
All the best. Adam Collins, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
I hope he wasn't seeking some sort of sympathy because he was a vegetarian and he was struggling to find a restaurant for himself.
You're a brutal individual.
I don't know why you just continue to talk about
food. You are a brutal individual.
No,
brutal.
That's a fair call.
Do not know why.